A Legacy of Spies by John le Carré. Read by Tom Hollander. Every man is born as many men and dies as a single one. Attributed Heidegger. 1. What follows is a truthful account, as best I am able to provide it, of my role in the British deception operation, codenamed Windfall, that was mounted against the East German intelligence service, Stasi, in the late 1950s and early 60s, and resulted in the death of the best British secret agent I have ever worked with, and of the innocent woman for whom he gave his life. A professional intelligence officer is no more immune to human feelings than the rest of mankind. What matters to him is the extent to which he is able to suppress them, whether in real time or, in my case, 50 years on. Until a couple of months ago, lying in bed at night in the remote farmstead in Brittany that is my home, listening to the honk of cattle and the bickering of hens, I resolutely fought off the accusing voices that from time to time attempted to disrupt my sleep. I was too young, I protested. I was too innocent, too naive, too junior. If you're looking for scalps, I told them, go to those grand masters of deception, George Smiley and his master, Control. It was their refined cunning, I insisted, their devious, scholarly intellects, not mine, that delivered the triumph and the anguish that was Windfall. It is only now, having been held to account by the service to which I devoted the best years of my life, that I am driven in age and bewilderment to set down, at whatever cost, the light and dark sides of my involvement in the affair. How I came to be recruited to the Secret Intelligence Service in the first place, the circus, as we young Turks called it in those supposedly halcyon days when we were quartered not in a grotesque fortress beside the River Thames, but in a fustian Victorian pile of red brick built on the curve of Cambridge Circus, remains as much of a mystery to me as do the circumstances of my birth, and the more so since the two events are inseparable. My father, whose acquaintance I barely remember, was, according to my mother, the wastrel son of a wealthy Anglo-French family from the English Midlands, a man of rash appetites, fast diminishing inheritance, and a redeeming love of France. In the summer of 1930, he was taking the waters in the spa town of Saint-Malo on Brittany's north coast, frequenting the casinos and maison close, and generally cutting a dash. My mother, sole offspring of a long line of Breton farmers, at that time aged 20, also happened to be in town, performing the duties of a bridesmaid at the wedding of the daughter of a wealthy cattle auctioneer, or so she claimed. However, she is a single source, not above a little decoration when the facts were against her, and it would not at all surprise me if she came into town for less upright purposes. After the ceremony, so her story goes, she and a fellow bridesmaid, the better for a glass or two of champagne, played truant from the reception and, still in their finery, took an evening stroll along the crowded promenade where my father was also strolling with intent. My mother was pretty and flighty, her friend less so. A whirlwind romance followed. My mother was understandably coy about the pace of it. A second wedding was hastily arranged. I was the product. My father, it appears, was not naturally connubial, and even in the early years of marriage contrived to be more absent than present. But now the story takes an heroic turn. War, as we know, changes everything. And in a trice it had changed my father. Scarcely had it been declared than he was hammering on the doors of the British War Office, volunteering his services to whoever would have him. His mission, according to my mother, was to save France single-handed. If it was also to escape the ties of family, that is a heresy I was never permitted to utter in my mother's presence. The British had a newly formed special operation.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?